So, where is the breath coming from?
The universe.
Okay, from the universe.
It's an involuntary reaction.
Involuntary. Say again.
It's an involuntary reaction of being alive.
Being alive. Beautiful. Involuntary, let's say, motion of life.
Yes.
Nice.
It seemed in the it was more in the experience. And it
my answer is rude.
It's rude. You hear something training in your
but yeah, you have identified an object that there is breath, and on top of that, you're also asking where is it coming from. The question is wrong.
Yeah, it's good. So let's rephrase the question. That's very good. Let's say, what is the source of the breath? Would you like that one better, or is there a problem with that too?
I have a
good comeback. Yes, you handled it pretty well.
I like that. I like questioning the question. Yeah. Questioning the question. That's a first very good step.
It's my ignorance
towards understanding. Let's make it simpler. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. It's good. Okay, let's wiggle our toes. Everybody, wiggle your toe. Okay? So, we all know that any physical motion, like wiggling our toe, behind any physical motion there is a physical force. Everybody knows that. A simple mechanical fact of physical universe, that when there is motion, there has to be a force causing that motion in space-time. Okay. So there is some physical force behind the wiggling of the toe, right?
Yeah, your nervous system and your muscles.
Right, yeah. Now the question is, I have to use the word where, because I'm trying to express the idea in a linguistically structured manner. So again, where? Where is that physical force coming from?
The thought?
The brain.
What is that thought?
About moving it.
That's a good one. Yeah. What is that thought?
Yeah. Okay, so where's the thought coming from? Not where's the movement coming from?
For now, we'll talk about the thought, which is giving rise to that physical force, which is giving rise to the physical motion of wiggling. It's the volition to wiggle the toe, right? Unless there is a volition to do something, there is no action, right? The volition to come here led you to come here, right? The volition to wiggle the toe, or you can use the word will. The will to wiggle your toe caused a physical force which caused the physical motion. So it's the volition or the will. So now applying that to the breath. The breath is there because there are some physical, physiological, biological processes, right, that are happening. What is behind those physical, physiological, biological processes? And I propose today that it's the will to live that is causing the breath, the source of the breath, the will to live.
Isn't that the ego? The will to live, isn't that the ego?
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But that's first thing to understand, is that behind any motion or movement, there is a will. And now, and I'm trying to create a foundation to talk about difference between self-will versus free will, and that will answer your question. You know, but it's always the the will.
Now, is it really the will, or is it the subconscious mind will? Not really an explicit will, and I don't have to really think about, you know, I'm going to take the next breath.
Yeah. So let's talk about the heart, right? There is motion, right? Heart is beating, physical motion. Behind that physical motion, there is something that's causing that physical motion, which makes the heart to, or causing the physical force, which makes the heart to move. Just like your will to live, and that's my proposal right now, hypothesis. The will to live causes a physical force, which causes wiggling of your toe, right? Similarly, I'm proposing the will to live causes a physical force, which causes physical motion, like beating of heart or breath movement. Now, this will is not the conscious will, okay? It's the subconscious will, which is ingrained in the universe. That will is the will to live, which in very simple terms we call life. So in fact, everybody was saying, for some reason, everybody's insight was kind of similar. She said, coming from the universe, and I'll tell you why it's coming from the universe very soon. And what you said is similar, and what you said is pretty much the same. What I'm saying is that it's the will to live, or it's that life force. Now is the real thing. We just established the fact that behind physical motion, there is a physical force. Behind physical force, there is this mental force, will, we're calling it, okay? Now look around us, okay? Look at the earth, the moon and the sun, the whole universe. There's motion everywhere, right? Now, if there is motion, that means there has to be a force causing the motion. Everybody agrees to that. Motion cannot happen without a force, right? Just like you could not wiggle your toe unless there was a physical force, which is your muscular force, right? Because there is motion, that means there is physical force in the universe. And scientists call it gravity, right? Because of gravity, they say that the gravitational force, they say that the earth revolves around the sun and moon revolves around the earth. Now the question is, where is the gravitational force coming from? Right. But nobody yet knows where the gravitational force is coming from. Right. Some people think it's the force that leaks from the higher dimensions, from 10, 11 dimensions. The force which leaks is what gravity is. Some people say it's the force that is caused by a particle called Higgs boson. Have you heard that? The God particle, they call it.
What is that called?
The God particle.
No, what you said before.
Higgs boson.
Higgs?
Higgs boson.
H-I-G-S?
H-I-G-G-S. Higgs boson. And in fact, one of the major studies underway at the CERN laboratory, world's largest experiment ever. You must have heard about CERN, right? C-E-R-N?
Mm-hmm.
The world's most complex and the largest experiment ever underway. And they are trying to find whether there is really something called the Higgs boson, which causes the gravitational force, which causes motion, you know, the planetary motion and this motion in the stars. There are also other forces like the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and the electromagnetic force, the four forces. But if you look at all this, these are all still in the material realm, right?
Yeah.
They're all still the physical forces. And what I'm proposing today is that no matter what the scientists come up with, whether it is the God particle, the Higgs boson, or the super force, or the unifying force, whatever it might be, what I'm proposing is that behind that force, there is another force, which is non-material, which is a mental force. And that force is the life force. Just as the will to live causes the breath and the heart to beat, right? Just as the will to live causes this individual life, there is will to live which causes the universal life. Just as the will to live causes individual life, there is this will to live which causes the universal life. In other words, just as there is individual life, there is universal life.
Right.
In other words, just as you and I are alive, the universe is also alive. In the ancient language, they say yatha pinde tatha brahmande, right?
In fact, simplistically, just the fact that we are alive means the universe is alive.
Yes.
That's really what we have to understand phenomenologically, experientially, is that we live in the alive universe. In other words, we are surrounded by life. The moons and stars and the trees, and whether it's a pebble or a pig.
So there's consciousness everywhere, like a rock has consciousness.
That's what I was saying, yeah. Whether it is a bug or a boulder, a pebble or a pig, it's all alive. The only difference lies in the strength of life.
In fact, I just heard it on radio a month ago, that rocks have an important part to play in the evolution process.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a very Native American way, an indigenous way of looking at life.
So just imagine living with the feeling that there's life everywhere surrounding us, all over the place. It's not just you that is alive, but the chair you're sitting on. It is like, it sounds like an audacious statement, you know. I mean, are you telling me the rock is alive? You know, give me a break, right? What I'm saying is that the only difference is in the strength of life. You know what I'm saying, right? This strength of life is tremendous. This our life versus the life of a pebble.
But what about a rock?
Right. Even a rock. By the way, number one thing to remember is that nobody knows what mass is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what it is. We are still trying to figure that out. But we do know that mass and energy are one and the same thing. Okay. Although we don't know what mass is, we know that energy and mass are one and the same thing. E equals mc squared is an established, experimentally established fact. Okay. So you can look at rock as condensed energy. Okay. And now when you talk about vacuum, you have to understand what vacuum is. Vacuum is not emptiness. Meaning, vacuum doesn't mean zero energy. It's not possible.
So it's the energy among the molecules that make up the rock, then. Must be.
It's what I'm proposing is that energy is what I'm calling the will to live. That's the whole hypothesis or proposal here, is that all existence is there because there is this will to live.
So does a rock have an ego?
This life. Right. Now that is the important question. Why rock doesn't have an ego, why tree doesn't have an ego, and why we do, right? And so when we align ourselves with the universal will, what happens is the self-will goes away, and what remains is the free will. And this is a foundation for what we're going to talk next, and that is that we are forgetting that the will, the universal will to live, is no different than the individual will to live. It's will to live, it's the same thing. But we are forgetting, and we are saying this is my life and not universal life. We are forgetting that there's really no difference. The universal life and this life is same. The only difference is the individual life is the depth of life universal life is the breath of life. That's the only thing. When we phenomenologically understand that the individual life is ditto, same as universal life, because it's will to live, right? Then see what happens. Then you feel that it's the universe that is living through you, not you. You see, it's the universe that is living through you and me. You see, universe, there's no separation, there is that understanding of oneness.
If the ego goes away, you still continue, your life continues, and
right.
Emotions continue.
Continue, because there is a universal will to
live. Yeah, but the rock then has an ego, really?
No.
That's what we're...
Okay.
Right.
That's why it doesn't suffer.
Okay.
The rock doesn't feel pain, it doesn't suffer.
We just don't know though what those molecules are actually doing.
Yeah,
so the goal is to become like a rock.
No.
The rock is
a rolling stone.
Rock is our ancestor. Okay?
Yeah.
Rock is our ancestor. The goal is to realize that first, that we came from the rock and we literally have come from the rock, really. The goal is to realize that we have evolved from rock. Humans. So it's the same life that has evolved, and that's why you mentioned evolution, right?
Yeah.
The will to live is the underlying current behind evolution. If there was no will to live, we wouldn't have become a man from a monkey. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have come out of a cave and gone to the moon. You know, everything is underlain by that will to live. And I'm now proposing another idea here, is that the universal will to live has three elements to it. It's not just will to live means like just exist. No. It's the will to live, love, and become enlightened. It's all in one. Okay. Why is the universe living? Because it wants to love and because it wants to become enlightened. That is that will, right.
Well, what if the universe is already evolved?
I propose that...
And that we're struggling to create that symbiotic relationship.
My hypothesis is that evolution is a never-ending process, and that the desire for enlightenment is not an individual desire, but it's a universal desire. Desire to love is not an individual desire, but it's the universal desire manifesting through us.
But if the universe isn't enlightened, then there's no such thing as enlightenment, then, because nobody's ever attained it.
To answer that question, you have to go through something called dependent origination, and it will take another whole class. But it's like this. Just imagine for a moment that there is perfect enlightenment, okay? And for some reason, the universe forgets who it is, okay? It forgets its own nature, okay? Now it wants to know who it is or what it is, okay? So because of that moment of ignorance, because of the arising of that thought, who am I or what am I? Because it forgot, okay? We have all this show, all this drama. Yeah. Evolution is that. It's basically universe trying to figure out who it is, what it is. Okay? And that process we call evolution. And behind that evolution, I'm proposing it. There is this will to live, which has three elements to it. Will to live, to love, and become enlightened.
I don't understand that. I really don't. Because the universe, to me, is constantly evolving.
Right.
I mean, you know, constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
But does it have a will to love?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm proposing today.
How? How did you get there?
Just the fact that we love, we try to love, we experience love.
Yes.
Everybody here has experienced love, and everybody here has loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the proof that universe is trying to love.
Yeah, don't feel separate.
We are the universe.
Right.
Well, yes, I understand. I understand.
The fact
but
that
I don't
we
understand.
Otherwise,
because
God
you
is
might
love
be
and everything's God.
Pardon me?
You know when they say that God is perfect love and everything is God?
Yeah.
I kind of.
But we're born evolved.
And what I'm proposing is that we forgot our true nature.
Yes.
And this whole drama, this whole evolution
is coming back. Yeah.
Is to know who we really are, what we really are. That is the whole idea. In other words, in terms of will, the whole idea is to remove this self-will, meaning, oh, I'm the lover, oh, I'm the one who's living, you know, I'm the one who's acting, versus free will. Doing everything, but looking at it as if the universe is doing it through you and me. Yeah.
There is a beautiful analogy for that. In human body, how much do you care about the topmost cell in your liver?
Yeah, good question. How much are you actually self-willingly doing stuff at the cellular level? It's all happening, right?
But...
Yes.
But what happens if that cell decides to go cancerous? Okay? It can kill the body.
Yes.
So what does it show? Is the cell important? Yes, it is. Is it significant? No, it is not. It is not significant. If it was significant, you would think about it each moment of your life. In the universe, we are
important, but not significant.
But do not think that we are significant. Change the world. We can change the world, I'm sorry. We can change the world.
That's a good one.
But we are not significant in this universe. We are important.
That's very beautiful.
We are not significant.
We have to apply that to everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything. Especially the pursuit of enlightenment. It's not I who's pursuing it. It's the universe that is evolving through you and through me. That way, the whole pursuit of enlightenment doesn't become hard work, you know. It is effortless, you know. You feel effortless.
The funny thing is, that cell in your body that's like that liver cell, it's really the same as every other cell in your body. It's just acting as a liver cell. But
why can't you take the same logic and think about all of us and all the entire world the same way? But we do not.
No, we give ourselves too much importance.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us cancerous.
Yeah.
We are like a cell, right? Imagine the whole humanity or universe as a being, whole universe as a being, like this being, and we being a cell.
It is a being.
A beautiful way of understanding that self-will is actually important, and I was going to get to that, but it's not significant. Free will is. You know, I'm building upon your idea and applying it to the will upon your idea. So basically, and then this all will relate to the karma. We will talk about karma next. Is how we eradicate self-will and generate free will. You know, that is the whole idea behind this today's gathering. Every single action we do is the action of the universe, not I. Okay. You know, in that moment, you have experienced free will. You know, in that very moment.
Can you say this again? Can you say this one?
Everything I do, every action, whether verbal, physical, mental, is the action of the universe, not me. Every act of will is the universal, is the act of universal will, not self-will. See? In that moment, you are freed from self-will. No, then what is acting is free will. That's where real freedom is.
It ties back to something, as I mentioned last week, I've talked to people. Life lives through us. We are not living the life. Universe is living through us. That's what you're saying.
Right. It's the universe that is living. Because we forget that, or because we're ignorant of that, we feel it is I who is living. And the idea is to eradicate that ignorance and become happy.
Yeah, and that's what's going on in the whole world. It's I.
Mm-hmm.
My country, my thoughts, my this, my that. My war.
For that matter, my shirt, my car,
yeah,
my home,
everything.
My good looks, my skin.
You're just not going on it always like that.
It's cancerous. It spreads pretty fast.
Yeah,
so.
Well, it's obvious.
But in the end, everybody dies. Doesn't matter.
So in order to align our life, in order to align our will, our volition, in order to align ourselves with the universe, we have to align our will with the universe. And what is the will of the universe? Is to live, love, and become enlightened.